Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Welcome to the Fantasy Football Report, on location, at least for me, in my in-laws' basement. So this will be a fun one. How's it going, Hassan? How was your Christmas?
It was good. It was good. You know, can't really complain. The games were fun. Still thing, but fun. How about you? How about yourself? How was Christmas? How was everything for you?
Yeah, Christmas was good. The games are fun, but also, well, like you said, tilting. It looks like in the best ball tournament team Sean and Colm and I have, we're going to get, you know, huge scores from Joe Burrow and Devonta Adams, and still might come up short depending on what CD Lamb does. So it's fun weekend, but also a little bit disappointing in many ways.
do you mind talking to me a little bit, or are you talking me through a little bit how the advancement there works?
So then in this is the FFPC best ball tournament.
Yep.
You have to be top three in your league of 12. I think there are 48 teams left. So four of these leagues left. You have to finish top three. And then the final week next week, the 12 teams left all battle for 100K. And one of our guys who was actually on the show last week, Connor O'Driscoll, is currently, he's in the same league we are in, and currently kicking everyone's butt. He has he's in number one in our league anyway by a lot. So he's gonna definitely make it onto the final. So kudos to him. Sean and Colm and I hope we can pull it out and have RotoViz represent two of the teams in the final week. That would be cool.
Yeah, that would be nice. And you said you needed to avoid a big game from CeeDee Lamb and another one from who?
I guess if Kamara has a dud, we might be okay. But basically, we need CeeDee Lamb to score like less than 16 points.
Yeah, we'll have to check back in on that at the end of the show. Yeah, just to give people a heads up of where we're at. But, you know, let's talk a little bit about the third-string quarterback. This was a bit of a surprise here for the Ravens. Josh Johnson, who completed 28 of 40 passes for 304 yards and two scores. Blair, did you see any of this game by any chance or no?
I didn't, unfortunately, because I'm not in the market where I would be able to get this game today. Mm-hmm. I was following it on my phone, though. And, I mean, obviously, if you're the Ravens, I think this is like better than you would have hoped for from Josh Johnson. I mean, he obviously would have preferred the win, but for him, you know, they're on their third quarterback now to come in and put up this type of score. I think you've got to be pleased, but obviously disappointing for the Ravens that they are missing Lamar Jackson and even missing Tyler Huntley this week. So it's going to be a tough stretch for them.
Yeah, any word on if Lamar is going to be ready and back sometime by next week?
I mean, I haven't seen anything, but he was close this week, it seemed like. They were talking, I mean, you know, he didn't practice at all, but it sounded like he was close to practicing much of the week. So I'm hopeful that we'll have him back next week.
Yeah, it would be pretty clutch to have him back, I guess, for the last two games. The Ravens have kind of like, I mean, the offense kind of has become fairly one note. I wanted to get your thoughts there because James Brichet sort of somehow saw a ton of work. I don't know if this is just by virtue of the fact that him and Josh Johnson were probably on the scout team. Josh Johnson was a newcomer to the Ravens like about 2 weeks ago, right? So I don't know, because they were giving Rashad Bateman a bit of work and he sort of trailed off, but you know, Mandrews continues to go off. Marquise Brown had another 9 targets today, turned in 5 of 44. Brochet caught 7 of his 8 targets for 76 yards, which is impressive. I mean, at the end of the day, it sort of just didn't matter. The Bengals just went like sicko mode on them, right? Like Burrow completed 37 of his 46 attempts for 525 yards and 4 scores, right? Like that was just what you needed. And then you had, you know, T. Higgins, who just went sicko mode. Like he caught 12 of his 13 scores for 194 yards and 2 scores. Jamar Chase came up scoreless, unfortunately, but he could have had a, you know, it's close to a big day. Joe Mixon had a big day. Like they all had big days. A little bit unsurprising considering Baltimore really just doesn't have a defense. Like I think what you're down to like the third stringers on across all phases.
Right. Yeah. Right. I mean, even starting the season, I think their defense wasn't as good as maybe they were hyped up to be. But I think what's interesting is that you saw Cincinnati kind of pushing the pace in this one, even though they had the game pretty well in hand most of the time. Like they were ahead most of the game, and they still you had Burrow throwing the ball 46 times. I think this is the Cincinnati team we were hoping to get when we drafted T. Higgins and Jamar Chase.
And Burrow. So it's a little disappointing because last week they all kind of had a dud, which really really kind of doomed you, I guess, in any, like I was just looking at all the guys on my best ball teams, on all my best ball tournament teams that were eliminated last week. And I mean, the flop flag is real. Like of all my teams that made it to the playoff stages and stuff, I had Justin Jackson on them. I had, you know, Higgins, I had Chase, I had Burrow, of course. Just a ridiculous amount of guys who were going off today. I mean, this week, but I just couldn't, you know, overcome from last week. I only had one team advance to this phase, and that team is not going to make it. And this is across the various, the other best ball platforms. And I can tell, like, when you're looking at my ROI, because it, like, spiked today, like, just because across my portfolio concentration just went, like, ridiculous. And we're coming toward, we're coming to the end. Like next week is the final week of like the regular best ball season. And my ROI is I'm pretty thankful for it, but you know, it could have been bigger had the Weaves been flip-flopped.
Right. I'm sure you are overweight a little bit. I mean, every road of his person is overweight on Higgins, but I'm curious with kind of what we've seen in terms of the target breakdown between him and Chase, where you would have them ranked going into next season for best
ball. I'm probably going to have Chase earlier anyway.
Oh, yeah?
It's just, I mean, it's irrelevant, right? Like, they're going to be going really close together. My assumption is they're going to be like the Woods and Cup from this year, right? Like, when one goes, the other one's going to go. So it's going to be, or like, it's the same with like Lamb and Amari Cooper, right? And you can't even say like, oh, just take the cheaper of the two. Like, just take the guy. Like just take one. Like you want one on your team. I'm more curious about like Boyd, and if Boyd goes, because that's going to result in like their ADPs. I mean, basically cementing them as like wide receiver, like 11 and 12, or like 10 and 12, or something like that, right? This is not going to be.
Thinking this year they were going in, you know, basically fifth and sixth round, fourth and fifth round.
And that's just not going to happen. I mean, like a lot of people were like really wary of Higgins. Everyone was talking themselves into Boyd being the steal. It just wasn't going to happen. With these two guys, like these young ascending, I just think you can see Chase being, you know, where CeeDee Lamb was kind of going, and then you can see Higgins being Amari, but like, Amari lost a lot of that shine. The issue and the concern there obviously is which one's going to go off, but you just don't, you just be a little bit more, don't draft them both in the same team is what I'm saying. Like, you want to be, you want to just, if you're playing a lot of teams, you want to just sort of take one of the two and move on with your life. Maybe bring it, like, if you want to stack them, if Boyd's going that much later, sure, you can take Boyd. Maybe you can take Uzoma or Sample or whatever, right? And then.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's interesting, the comp with Lamb and Cooper. You know, part of the reason, I mean, obviously I was bullish on Lamb because he was great as a rookie coming into his second year. You expect to see a pretty big jump for these guys.
Yeah.
And I think it helped that Amari kind of...
He got hurt, you know, and everything else.
Right. He has been hurt. And he's not old by any stretch, but I mean, you know, he's like a veteran now. Whereas
Higgins, the shine is off him.
Right. You know, you could see, it's easier to see a decline from Cooper last year than I think we would expect from Higgins going into year three. So in that sense, it's a little bit tougher of a decision for me. I mean,
yeah. And make no mistake, Amari has been a disappointment. Mm-hmm. He's been a wide receiver in only two of his games, and then the rest of his games, he just hasn't been a viable wide receiver three.
Yeah.
Like, he's been like a wide receiver four or worse in most of them. Like, he's got, like, his median outcome is ridiculously poor. it's actually kind of disgusting. Like, if you're looking at it, it's more like,
He said one game. Okay. So week one, he had almost 40.
Yeah. He had 40.
He had 26. Other than those two games.
Yeah.
He's only had one.
He's had two double-digit games. He's had two double-digit PPR games, and the rest are in, like, the low, like, under six PPR points type of stuff.
Yeah, he's got a couple, but basically nothing above 16 points.
So, yeah, and then remember, Dak was missing for a while.
Right, that's true. I guess the question is, how likely do you think it is that Higgins has a similar kind of scoring profile next season? Where he's only averaging, even with these upside games, he's only averaging probably 12 points.
I mean that's a tough question, right? Because I don't think it'd be that. I don't think it's that.
You wouldn't expect the drop off to be that dramatic. So
yeah,
that's why I'm having this hang up on Chase versus Higgins.
Yeah, it's why I said you probably have to take one of the two, right? Because they're just going to go back to back. When one goes, the other goes.
Right, right.
Like, you're not going to be able to get both, and I don't think you should. Like, I think you should probably aim for, like, even keel. I will say that, you know,
would you take either of them in, I mean, thinking where Lamb was going was, like, late second this year. Would you be comfortable taking either of them at that point?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you have to, right? Like, because who else would you want to be taking that, right? So let me ask you this, right? And this is probably the better question. Do you think either of them leapfrog CeeDee Lamb in ADP?
Yeah, I could see that, especially if we get another game like this. I mean, they're I know we targeted this game. I want to say it's the Chiefs, but I could be wrong.
It is the Chiefs. It's the next week. Is the Bengals and the Chiefs.
Right. So if you get another...
It was the sneaky stack.
Right, sneaky exactly. Stack. This is why this is one of the reasons we were going after these Bengals so hard, is for this week 17 game. But, I mean, if you see them have another big game like this in the fantasy finals, then I would definitely not be surprised if... Probably, especially if Chase goes off, I could see him.
Yeah, for sure. I mean,
yeah.
If Higgins goes off, he's going to be the one going earlier first.
Yeah.
And then
and then
the internet hype machine is going to be all like, oh, Jamar Chase is undervalued. And then it's just sort of like,
push, and then he'll leapfrog him too.
Yeah, it's just a matter of they just didn't show up when we needed them to show up. They had a massive dud last week. Right. And to be clear, this team can and will have those duds. Zach Taylor is not immune to being a donkey. In fact, he's made a lot of suboptimal decisions. He was very clear about wanting to establish a run, and he does do that, like, to the detriment of the passing game. The difference is, you know, despite for Baltimore with all the issues and injuries that they've had, you still can't run on that team.
Yeah.
You just can't. And
the thing that's been, I mean, you know, even when the last time they played, I think Chase had like 200 yards against them, but yeah. The whole season Baltimore's problem has been their secondary.
So. Yep. Yeah, it's just a bunch of random guys they're finding out of M&T, like just in front of M&T Field at this point, and they're just like suiting them up. Like I think the backups are injured. Sorry.
Yeah. No. Well, I'm just wondering how much of this was this explosion from Cincinnati. You think might have been kind of
matchup.
Yeah, playing the matchup.
100% the matchup because the Baltimore Ravens, the secondary was bad. A lot of people were worried about.
Yeah.
They were circling this as a reason to not really go heavy. Like they were saying that like last week's matchup against the Broncos was going to be a tough one, which they were correct on. And then this week's matchup against the Ravens was going to be a tough one. Well, people were like completely dead wrong on the Ravens. They were pretty right in the Broncos. So the issue with the Broncos is they beat themselves, right? Like there was just no pace, no volume, nothing.
So you can definitely see, given kind of, you know, what you mentioned about how Zach Taylor's not immune from the suboptimal decision, you can definitely see the Bengals trying to go in against the Chiefs and, you know, keep the ball out of Mahomes' hands and run the ball a lot, especially early. And luckily, probably the Chiefs are good enough that they won't be able to keep doing that for long. But this game you can see ways that this game goes against our expectations.
Yeah, for sure. Because I just pulled up the ADP Explorer right now. Lamb was going by the end of it. He was going mid third according to this. Just on the cusp of that wide receiver too. And every time I pull up the ADP, I always look at like I'm always shook by seeing like Allen Robinson wide receiver 10. like that's the one that always shakes me a little bit just because like where he was going. Yeah. Everybody else you've got like a good argument for, and then like out of nowhere it's like Allen Robinson and it's like whoa. I will say I know we typically don't talk about Thursday night games, but AJ Brown, man, just a few weeks too late. Had he been healthy, maybe a different story this entire season, but my God, man.
I mean, I think you probably had no doubt you were already had him in kind of that top tier of dynasty wide receivers, but
yeah.
I don't even know the question I'm asking because I'm not going to get you to rank them.
No, I mean, we've talked about this quite a bit, but I do know the question, what you're saying. And that's why I was saying is like, but if you're drafting one of these wide receivers, you want Justin Jefferson, you want AJ Brown, you want Jamar Chase. Like these are the guys you want. CeeDee Lamb a little bit, right? Like Lamb, you feel like a guy you could potentially wait on.
It feels like we're coming up on a year when there's just a ton of awesome wide receiver options, and the running back options outside of Jonathan Taylor are kind of like meh.
Yeah. Yeah, you're going to have a running back with a lot of the one who I do think is going to be intriguing is Gibson, right? Guys like Swift and Swift should be ascending. Haven't seen him much, but he really should be ascending and should have been in that conversation. I mean, realistically, if you took him in the third round, right? Like a really viable start this year was Adams in the first, Justin Jefferson in the second, DeAndre Swift in the third, and Mark Andrews in the fourth. And I know that there's some like writers who have done that, and I know there's like people who have done that. Yeah. That's an insane team.
Yeah.
Right. Like, and so the fact that Swift isn't around has been a massive bummer. And I know it for a fact because I've got quite a lot of really good teams that were completely sunk because of Swift, bunch of dynasty teams that not gonna make it because I have Swift. I might have to abandon one of my favorite dynasty teams and it's got Swift and Dalvin on the roster. So RIP to that one. Just such a bummer to lose that team. Ugh.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk. But it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Speaking of ascending guys that we were all over this year and look like they might still have a really valuable ADP next year, Kyle Pitts caught 6 of 6 targets for 102 yards. He still didn't get a touchdown, and I think this, I mean, he hasn't had one since, I want to say, week 4, and his only one of the season. Mm-hmm. How much of a concern is that for you that he doesn't seem to be able to get into the end zone?
It's more of the offense, man. Arthur Smith just doesn't know how to really run it, or they just stopped targeting him for some reason in the red zone, which is really weird considering he's so much bigger than all the other little elves they're throwing to, right? sorry, not elves. Elves are tall. Dwarves. But
You're talking Tolkien elves, not Christmas elves.
Yeah, Tolkien elves, not the Christmas ones. Like they're giving CPAT the ball. They went to Hayden Hurst instead of Pitts. You know what I mean? Like, and Pitts only got like 6 targets. Just a bit of a bummer, right? And this is why I keep asking the question about Pitts and stuff.
Yeah.
Is because he is going to have a very valuable ADP. He is going to go really early. And you're going to have to make a decision point on him. And I think you should be buying in, right? Just because we talk about it a lot here on RotoViz, but like the tight ends have been invaluable at the top end. I mean, I'm sorry if you made the wrong decision point between Hawkinson versus Mark Andrews. But to be fair, if you look back at the ADP, Pitts, Andrews, and Hawkinson, all three were going back to back to back. And that was realistically the end of where your elite tier stopped. That was it.
Yeah.
And Pitts, despite not really being a true, weekly week winner, there's value to having someone who is consistently providing you with, 11 plus or 12 plus points there, I think. It's just a huge, I think that this is going to be one of those classic situations where next season, provided he continues to get the same volume, if Ridley's back, he might have more red zone opportunities because he's just seeing so much volume without any red zone, like any TDs. And that's just like, we know is going to eventually mean revert. Like, even if he's just like terrible at finding the red zone, he's going to find it far more than he did this year. Right. Like I wanted to get your thought on that, like, and how you'd be going about ranking him.
I mean, I still have him ranked very high. I think, like you said, there's a lot of problems with this offense, obviously. And we know touchdowns are not sticky. If you're trying to predict kind of mean reversion in terms of touchdowns, receiving yards usually is the best predictor. And Pitts has shown that he's able to rack those up pretty well. Even on only 6 targets, he had over 100 yards today. So Yes, I'm obviously still very bullish on Kyle Pitts. And I mean, if we're talking redraft next year, he's probably
DE3 or something, right?
Yeah, or four maybe.
Yeah, it just, I mean, it's just really hard because at that point, you just really want to grab one, right? Like, you just want to grab one. It's like,
I think
Kelsey, Kittle, Mandrews, Pitts, probably Hockenson would be running it back with him. Waller would probably be running it back with as well.
Yeah.
And Waller might actually be like the DE6, and that's like the end.
That's interesting. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking I might have Waller still ahead of Pitts, but you obviously have to kind of take into account what he's done this year. I mean, obviously he was out today, but and he's been injured a lot this year.
Yeah.
So that has to,
I mean, it's a real shame for him too, because he was he was having like a pretty big moment in the sun. Everyone was like rallying around him. Raiders have been a tough team this year anyway, but maybe next year would be a little bit better. I will say though, like, this is what I mean about like being a little bit more fluid when it comes down to ADP and particularly the standard deviation of these guys. You don't really want to pick too far ahead. Like, make sure you have the market go for you, but just know that, you know, if you want these guys on your team, have like a plan of when you want to take them. So it's like, if you see them all sliding past ADP, that's fine. Just take the guy earlier and then you can eventually rebalance it out. But at some point you want to eventually start making sure that you have good, like, at least in my opinion, I'm going to try to have good concentrations of all these guys, like 18-ish% of each of these guys. So I'm not going to try and play the game where I know who's going to be the TE1, right? Like, I'm just going to try and pick who I can and then just hope to God that I did the right thing.
Yeah. So I want to get your opinion on these guys for Dynasty as well. Is there anyone that you would have ranked ahead of Pitts in Dynasty?
For tight ends?
Yeah.
Probably Mark Andrews.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, really elite tight ends tend to stick around a while. Like just look at Kelsey, right? And I guess the hard part there though for me is it becomes difficult projecting out a stronger like target share for Andrews. But like the thing is that, like, especially now that he's competing with Bateman as well. Mm-hmm. But I mean, he's pretty up there because of Lamar. Right. Kelsey, it's very difficult to have Kelsey up there. I think Kittle is another one who becomes a little bit tricky, especially with Trey Lance up there. I'm trying to think.
Yeah, I mean, there are not too many guys. You know who the elite tight ends are. Hockenson, obviously, we had
Hockenson's going to be tough. Yeah, he
didn't deliver, but a lot of that, I think, you can also point to the team situation.
Yeah, but on the flip side, look at Amon-Ra St. Brown, right? 9 of 11 targets, 91 yards and a score, and he's just been like balling out the last few weeks, right? So it becomes very confusing, at least on that end. I wanted to get your thoughts on ARSB.
ARSB, yeah. Yeah, I always was a little bit puzzled about kind of the lack of buzz he had coming in to the league and how not really that many people in the fantasy community were on him.
They weren't on Golladay either. But a few people were on Golladay, but like not like not to the extent that we were in like the RotoViz community or the analytics community were.
Yeah, I mean, Amon-Ra was, I mean, he was kind of like a Devy darling, right? But I think because his college career wasn't as good as people hoped, he kind of lost some of that hype. But yeah, obviously what he's been doing over the last couple of weeks is impressive. And he's someone who, you know, everything depends on the cost, obviously, but he's someone who I think I want to try and get on a lot of teams next year.
Amon-Ra, it's just difficult figuring out what you need to give up though, right? I don't think the ARSB like guys are going to be trading away much. And that's the issue. I think Josh Reynolds is going to be running back. There's been a lot of talk coming out of Detroit that they're looking at a defensive end with their early picks.
Yeah.
I'm actually more interested in like Swift and like hopefully the fact that he can stay healthy next year. Like,
for sure.
Like he's the guy who I'm really, really curious to see where his ADP will shake out. Just because you've got a lot of really good veteran running backs. And I think this is where like people are going to get very confused is what do we do? Like, where do we go from here?
Would you be interested in Amon-Ra in like a best ball draft if his ADP settles in like the seventh round or something?
Yikes. Now you're getting up there, right?
Yeah.
That's like Deebo Samuel range.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. That's a very good question. Not one I have an answer for, unfortunately.
Right. That's kind of, I was thinking, yeah, I mean, seventh is about where it seems like, ooh, this is getting a little rich. But on the other hand, you can see him having a kind of second year breakout season if the Lions can improve at all. Then that becomes pretty intriguing, even in the seventh.
Yeah, I think I'm going to be in on him, actually, now that I think a little bit more about it. I would probably fade a lot more of the older veterans to get ARSB in there.
Yeah.
I can see Thielen winding up in the seventh or the sixth or the seventh. Like, that's someone who I would easily just sort of cross off my list.
Yep.
For ARSB, I can see a Bobby Wood sliding down there. Trying to think of who else might be there. Maybe Robbie Anderson, potentially Odell.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of guys who really should be going later might end up there.
Yeah. That's the issue, right? I can see probably Marvin Jones clawing his way up there. Maybe Darnell Mooney gets up there.
Maybe Allen Robinson's there.
Allen Robinson probably will be there. Allen Robinson would be a guy who I'd be interested in at that price too, though, depending on where he winds up.
Yeah.
It's a little, I mean, it's tough right now because there's just so many in a vacuum, sure. Right. But I can see Brandon Cooks leapfrogging everybody going a little bit earlier. That Tyler Lockett might wind up there. Julio probably winds up there too.
Oh my gosh. That would be so expensive for Julio.
I know. That's the issue, right?
All the names you're saying, most of them, I'm like, oh, man.
Cole Beasley might wind up there, too.
Get out of here. Come on. Cole Beasley will never get up there.
Jacoby Myers will. Hunter Renfrow might. Russell Gage might.
No, these guys never make it into the single-digit rounds. Get out of here.
It'll be interesting to see what happens to ADP, though.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean,
Renfrow has put up, like, he's having a breakout season. Like, this is what we're all about at RotoViz, what he's kind of doing. But it's
coming at the cost of Waller, though, right? And it came at, but look at all the things that needed a break for Renfrow. And one of them was drugs, literally getting kicked out of the NFL for being, for lack of a better word, like, for being a true schmuck. But Waller also had to miss a ton of time. And even today, Renfrow wasn't all that, right? Like he was genuinely kind of, he was pretty disappointing, right? Like, and I'm going to go back to let me just look up what he's done this year so far. He's had like a massive string of wide receiver one performances. And, mostly 18-ish plus PPR points. But, like, a lot of them came following their week 8 bye.
Right. I mean, even before that, though, he was getting the targets. Like, 8 targets, 9 targets, 7 targets. So this is not obviously wide receiver one numbers, but there's some volume there. And then it's just lately he's been getting more of the double-digit gains, really only 2 of them. Although today he only had 3 targets, and Zay Jones had 8 targets. Remember Zay Jones? That's a blast.
Yeah, he's back, and he's out here hogging the targets, man.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you think the Raiders draft a wide receiver?
Yeah, probably. I mean, it's going to be a whole new coaching staff, dude. This is no longer Gruden's vision.
Right.
The whole franchise is flipped on its head, if you will.
Yeah, it's so, I mean, like to start the season, Derek Carr was one of the best quarterbacks in the league, right? Just for a few weeks. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you're a Raiders coach, you see that and say, okay, this guy just needs some more weapons and then we'll be good to go. Or at least I hope that's what they think. Cause, I would like to see Carr get some more weapons.
I think he might like not be on the team depending.
Oh, really?
I mean, after looking at the contract stuff, and if I have time, I might try to put together an article, but there are going to be a few things for us to look out for. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see what happens with them. I was curious about this next player. He's a running back on the New York Jets, 16 times for 118 yards, no scores. Michael Carter, what are we doing with him next year?
Ooh, I think I'm still in on Michael Carter. I think that took him a little while to get going, obviously, and he does play for the Jets, which is another thing. But I think you got to be pretty excited about what he's been able to do in a few games.
I agree.
I mean, you would like more targets, obviously, but 118 yards today, obviously. That's, you know, that those are the kind of performances we want to be chasing, you know, for these rookie running backs. So, I mean, yeah, I'm in. I don't want his price to go above where it was this year, though, like eighth round.
It probably will, though, because he's been balling out. Zach Wilson showed off some wheels today, too. He had 91 rushing yards and a score, which is pretty impressive considering the state of whatever the sad sack offense is. and I mean, you know, they beat out the Jacksonville Jaguars, who I will be honest are a slightly less sad sacky offense, but they're pretty sad sacky. unfortunately, James Robinson got hurt. He tore his Achilles. Unless he's like Cam Akers, man, like I don't see him being back in time for next year. Like, do you think ETN is like a, like he's going to open in the second or the third?
Man, that's so tough. He's coming off a serious injury too. I think he'll probably still end up about where he was in like the fourth round this year. And I mean, I think you expect, I mean, I don't know, maybe Jacksonville decides they just want to roll with Carlos Hyde or something, but I think you'd expect
Urban Meyer's gone. They're not rolling Carlos Hyde.
I don't know. NFL coaches seem to love him. Doesn't matter whether it's Urban Meyer. Yeah, no, I mean, I'd expect them to sign someone, and whoever that is probably going to have a higher ADP than he deserves.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I'm definitely, you know, I would like to get some positive news on ETN before trying to make any statement about
he's just gonna go there, man. You just cannot get that hype turkey out of the oven now.
Yeah, no, I think fourth round probably is about where he'll end up, like he was last year. And at that price, I probably would not. I'm sure there are gonna be guys I want more than.
I don't think he's gonna be the fourth
ACL tear.
Yeah, I think he's gonna be the third, man.
Yeah,
I think that's where he opens.
So what are you doing with him in the third?
Was it an ACL?
Pretty sure.
No, it's a Lisfranc.
Oh, that's right. I'm confusing him with somebody.
Yeah,
that's right. Good. Okay. Maybe that's different. Is that what Julio Jones had?
Yeah. Yeah. I believe still, so. Though,
We haven't seen him play any football. He's coming off a serious injury. In the third round, that's paying a lot, and I'm sure there are going to be guys there who I also like. So what are you doing with him if he's in the third round? Are you happy drafting him?
I'll probably be underweight, but I'll probably be having to take him there at some point. Like, he just could be next year Swift, right? But I guess the ways that I'll probably take him would be like going tight end, wide receiver, and ETN. Or wide receiver, ETN. Like, I'm not going to have, like, running back. wide receiver ETN, if that makes sense. Yeah. Like the way I draft ETN next year would be the same way I was drafting Swift this year.
Right.
Unless you know, there was something else I could figure out. Maybe I'll have some kind of teams that are with like Javonte and him, hopefully, but who knows. I mean, there's just so many running backs who are actually viable this year that I think it's going to scramble a lot of people's brains and emotions. I mean, like this guy, Sony Michel, like, he was like viable, right? Like 127 times for 131 yards and a score. And that's coming off the back of like Henderson's inability to stay healthy. Yeah. What are you doing with Cam Akers, who's an absolute genetic freak, and apparently Achilles tears, they're only slowing him down.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't even know what to make of that. I mean, obviously it's good news if he's really healthy enough to activate. I read somebody on Twitter saying that they just did it so that he, I don't know, something to do with his contract.
Some pension stuff, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't read it closely enough to get my head around it, but it's at least not clear that this is actually a sign that he's recovered and is about to start playing or something, because that would be amazing. But who knows? Yeah, I don't know. I traded Cam Akers to Sean in a dynasty league that we're both in a few weeks ago, which is always, you know, usually I regret the trades I make with Sean. So we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. Not everyone can be like, you can't just like be, you can't be as good as Sean as at making these trades. And he's really and don't get me wrong, he's very, very good, but like,
yeah, no, he gets something wrong. But usually when I trade with him, I end up looking back and saying, oh, I shouldn't have done that.
He
pulled one over. No, he doesn't. He's not trying to pull one over on me, but
yeah.
But you always gotta ask yourself, does he know something? And then Cam Akers was activated. So
yeah,
maybe he did. Yeah, I don't know what to do with Michelle and even Henderson and Akers. I mean, this it's kind of a mess. It seems like they don't want Michelle to be the guy when Henderson is healthy, but whenever Henderson's not, Michelle looks great. So I don't know.
I mean, I think both of them are just going to be so far low in ADP, we can just take whoever we want again next year.
Yeah,
because we I was saying like last week when we were on with Connor, and it's just we really need these guys out there who continuously tout bad takes. Like, we need these guys with like, you know, 10K plus followers just going out there and saying, don't draft Alexander Mattison at cost because he's bad. That costs RB46, right? So you're taking him after, so let me just pull up my little hand. Oh, I closed my handy dandy ADP chart, but you know, you're just taking him after everybody. Like, you just, yeah, like your opportunity costs are like, do I take this like guy as like RB46, or do I take like, I don't know, some rando guy as like my tight end too? And so it's just like, well, yeah, that's kind of what we're going to need. Just staying on the quick theme of these running backs, Damian Harris today put on an absolute show, 18 times for 103 yards and 3 scores, right? And actually, Peter Overzet mentioned to us to put him into one of our playoff teams. We're doing okay. We're actually, if anyone is listening to the show from the Pentagon, we are currently 25th overall in KFFSC. We scored 187. Unfortunately, last week really put us in a coffin. We scored 77.
Well, we got one more week, right?
Yeah, we have one more week to make up a pretty steep deficit about 70 points, a 70-point deficit to ship this thing.
All right. I think we can do it.
I mean, considering we were like completely wrecked by 100-plus points last week, it's completely doable.
Does this team have Joe Burrow, or was this the one where...
No, both of our teams have Joe Burrow.
Okay. All right. Oh yeah, I think that Ben
because
and
we
I
were arguing. Him, we were arguing Joe right. Burrow v. Lance.
Ben and I wanted to take him earlier, but then he hung around or something like that.
Yeah, Burrow. Yeah. The good news here is, anyway. So long story short, Peter Orvisette got us onto Damien, and he did well for us. We might have to actually start considering sitting Cordarrelle Patterson because he's done nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an interesting question. I mean, Patterson obviously is kind of
we owe him. We owe him a lot. CPAT, we love you.
We do. He was great at the beginning of the season, but obviously he's playing for like one of the worst offenses in the league.
And they're even using him all wrong.
Right. They have. He's also not like the youngest running back on the field. He's never had a workload like this. You know, you do start to kind of question what, you know, whether he's up for the workload of an NFL running back. But I mean, hard to tell. There's so many confounders when you play for the Falcons.
Yeah, step one, playing for the Falcons. I mean, look at Calvin Ridley. I hope you're doing well, Calvin. I did want to get your thoughts on another guy who is, you know, turning into a sophomore, Devonta Smith. Mm-hmm. 5 of 7 targets for 80 yards and a score. This is a guy who feels like he's going to be undervalued to me next year.
Yeah. He really, you know, probably part of it is the offense again, but he really hasn't quite lived up to, I think, the hype, which even though he's been solid, like he's been decent as a rookie, and today he had a really good game, but maybe not as good as we were hoping. So he could go a little underdrafted next year, in which case yeah. I'm really excited to take him.
His rookie season has been kind of quiet relative to where it should be or what it should have been. I mean, part yeah. of that is just people who are a little bit, I mean, they're analytics enthusiasts. They're not really mm-hmm. interested in like applying the art to this or the subjectivity to this, but they're going to ignore the fact that like, after Miles Sanders got hurt, like the team converted to this yeah. D-wing formation. Like they became like the run heaviest team in the NFL by like, I don't know, like 300, babe, like mm-hmm. 30 percentage points, something absolutely ridiculous. Like they just went, like, I think they've been like 30% like run over expectation instead of like passing. Like they've just been one like the run heaviest team and leaning on a very specific skill set of Jalen Hurts. And yeah. so I think that's actually going to be, he's going to be over penalized for it. I think right. he might actually go in like the ninth.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. Yeah. I mean, obviously in the ninth, I think any rookie wide receiver who wasn't like completely terrible in his rookie season, I think you have to consider who's going in those middle rounds, 8th, 9th, 10th, something like that.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. So I expect if that's the case, he'll end up on a lot of my teams. And I kind of think you're probably right, because it's hard to imagine him really getting that much earlier unless he like completely destroys week 17.
Yeah. Another guy who I think probably has now got a really good case for being in the elite tight ends would be Dallas Goedert. Where do you think his ADP opens and where Ooh. Does it settle?
So we're talking redraft?
Yeah. Just best ball redraft.
I could see him getting as high as like the 6th round, maybe. But
in FFPC, probably, you think? That's FFPC, right? It has to be.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. In the 6th round, I'm probably out. I don't think he could get much higher than that.
I think he's like, yeah, I think he's going to go at the like 6 at the latest, right? Like,
At the latest?
At the earliest, sorry, at the earliest. Yeah, cause I just don't see him. I guess maybe he overtakes Waller initially, right? Like I think Waller could be tight end 7.
Hmm.
And that would be interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be interesting. I mean, I'm trying to pull up what what exactly Goddard has done this season.
He's been pretty good since they shipped out Ertz, for what it's worth. Right. That's the issue, right? Because you have like this really like a tale of two seasons with him. Like, we're gonna need to do a lot more normal analysis and just straight and like straight numerics, because like there's been a lot of really dirty splits during the season, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, he's definitely had a couple good games recently. Obviously, week 13 and week 15, he had over 20 points both of those games. And then today, only 4 targets, 2 catches for 28 yards. So I think, you know, with any tight end who's not Kelsey, basically, or maybe Mark Andrews, you're going to see kind of these sorts of highs and lows. So is it worth paying for that in the 6th or 7th round or even 8th round? I don't think so. So I'm probably going to be avoiding Goddard if he gets that expensive, and trying to get exposure to some later guys, or just go elite, truly elite tight end. But, I mean, you know, in the 8th round, maybe it makes sense.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping he might have the same ADP as, like, Logan Thomas did this year.
Yeah, so where Logan Thomas was going, at least in FFPC, was, you know, late 5th, early 6th, basically.
Yeah. And
that, I mean, it's obviously hard to tell since he got hurt pretty early in the season. And then got hurt again when he came back. So, you know, we don't really know whether that was justified, but my guess is it probably would have ended up looking a little too expensive regardless, yeah, even if he had stayed healthy. But I mean, the other thing is, you know, with these tight ends, the injury risk is even greater than at a lot of other positions. So you kind of have to think about that when you're factoring in these costs, because if,
yeah,
know, Goddard, you know, you might be really bullish on Goddard and say, oh, 6th round, I think that's a fair price. But does that take into account the likelihood that he's going to get hurt? Maybe not. Tight end injury rates are definitely higher than wide receiver injury rates.
Yeah, but at some point you just sort of do need to like pay the piper and actually pay for him, because I guess the reason why the ADPs are so high for some of these guys, compared to some of the other ones, unless you're really, really talented at picking out late round tight ends, and I don't think most of us are, it's a very difficult argument to make there. Maybe, you know, Dawson Knox is someone I was kind of on towards like later and stuff like that, but like, you know, it still is a little difficult to be, you know.
Right. Right. And part of that is
conviction just go all in on him.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Part of that, of course, is just the nature of kind of how tight ends score points, which is very touchdown dependent.
Yep.
So it's kind of in many ways the least predictable position, which I think makes elite tight end, going after elite tight ends, an even stronger strategy in most cases.
Yeah, hard agree. And I want to get your thoughts on this last guy before we shut it down for the season, is David Montgomery here. He had, you know, rushed 21 times with 45 yards and a score. He also had 7 catches for 61 additional yards. What are you doing with him next year? What are we doing? And frankly, what are we doing with the Seahawks? This was an embarrassing loss for the Hawks, man.
This was pretty bad for the Seahawks. I was hopeful for DK Metcalf coming into this game, so he did get a touchdown, but it's sad to see him kind of fall short. Yeah, David Montgomery, I mean, I'm going to be out next year because I'm just like, I'm always out on him, even though I thought today, you know, him getting all those catches was pretty nice. It's just, you can't really count on them. I want to say Khalil Herbert had a touchdown today. Isn't that right?
He did.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know where Montgomery will end up in ADP, but wherever it is, it's probably going to be too expensive. So I'm not trying to acquire him. I'm probably not going to be drafting him on a ton of teams. I'll get him if he slips in a few spots. But, you know, kind of what we've been talking about with Montgomery, what we were talking about last year was how he had an easy schedule. And, of course, at the end of the season or second half of the season when that schedule hit, he smashes. And then this year his schedule's not so great and he falls flat. So – you see that with a lot of running backs, and it's kind of something you have to be especially sensitive to and avoid paying up for these guys who are not really like elite running back talents.
Yeah. I mean, it's always difficult. It's always easy to say that. It's, right. But I mean, as we can see, just by looking at ADP, it's difficult for a lot of people to know that, right? Or like continue to follow through with it.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, the one maybe bright spot of this game was that Rashad Penny had, I want to say, 135 yards rushing.
Yeah, yeah.
And a touchdown. He only had the one target, but obviously he's starting to look more like the guy that we were so high on as a rookie. And he's been helping some of my teams in the playoffs, so in the fantasy playoffs. So that's been... that's been nice. I would have liked to get a few more points from him today, obviously, but
yeah, there's only so much you can do.
Yeah, right. Assuming, I mean, he's basically been the Seattle RB1 over the last few weeks. So yeah. Going into next season, where how early do you think you'd be comfortable taking him?
I would still like him at like the late rounds, man.
Oh, really? Like, you wouldn't want to take him as early as like the sixth round?
I unless I'm like writing that off as like an L, mate. Like, there's no way. Like, it's just not gonna happen, man. I just can't do it. I want to be enthusiastic about him, but the Seattle could be a team in flux, which really kind of does bring into the question of what are we doing with Lockett and Metcalf, right? Because like, Metcalf is a guy whose ADP could crater next year,
yeah,
right? And Lockett's could too,
right?
I'm kind interested of
mm-hmm. both to fall off pretty far, but I think that Metcalf becomes a pretty interesting pick even as early as maybe the early fourth.
So, yeah, for sure. I mean, he does, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Regardless of who the quarterback is.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that we have to take him there, because I think that the market will let him fall further.
That's probably true. I mean, you saw that kind of with like Chase Claypool this year, someone yeah. who we think is good, but whose quarterback situation is a little bit iffy, who had some down games, right? Doesn't necessarily have the numbers to back up the kind of explosiveness that we saw. So yeah, I think with Metcalf, you might see him end up in a similar sort of range. And yeah, hard to know if that's really a good pick, because Claypool has been kind of a disappointment this season. But obviously Metcalf has explosive outcomes.
Yeah, I mean, but to keep in mind, like, Claypool suffered what could have been a season-ending like toe injury not too long ago, and he's still playing through it.
Yeah,
right. Like, I have no idea when the Steelers decided to start like trying to establish Ray McLeod. That just came out of nowhere, dude. That one, I'd be honest with you, that's been a very, very shocking revelation here. I mean, he had 8 targets today. 8.
Right. Right.
That's more than Chase. That's more than Najee Harris. That's ridiculous to go for 4 for 25.
Yeah. I don't know what the Steelers are doing. It doesn't make sense. When 8 targets for McLeod and only 6 for Claypool, I mean, obviously, this is a team that has some problems with, you know, some quarterback problems, which is going to make a difference. My sense is that because McLeod is almost, in fact, I think some places he might be listed as a running back, he's not getting targets very deep downfield. So these are almost like dump offs. You know, Harris obviously has been getting a lot of targets this season, same sort of targets. You know, if Roethlisberger doesn't have the accuracy downfield anymore, then that could explain a lot of why these guys are getting targets instead of Claypool. So yeah, I don't know. It doesn't, well, I mean, obviously it sounds like Pittsburgh's going to have a different quarterback next year, but not necessarily going to have an upgrade at the position, I think.
Yeah. Right? It's going to be a lateral move at best, right?
Yeah. Yeah, probably. And you kind of see that with Seattle as well, since we're talking about both these teams, is that, you know, yeah. Even if you can get a good price on Metcalf, maybe you don't want to, because even like today, you don't want to get 41 yards and a touchdown every week.
This is a good question here from Historical Anomalies. He asks, with as many terrible QBs that started today, wonder how they could replace Russ or A-Rod or any of these teams that they think they might be better off with new QBs. This is a very good question. And I'll be genuinely honest with you. I don't know if Russ is going to force his way out of Seattle. Like this is just more so conjecture. I do think that they need to change the coaching staff, because it's clear that this relationship has been long over. The fact that they've only made the playoffs twice with Russ under center.
Can that be right?
I think that sounds about right.
I don't know. Seems like it should be more than that, because they, I don't know. He's probably been around longer than I remember. I don't know. But yeah, I think we'd all agree that we're kind of getting sick of the games that the Seattle coaches are playing. Yeah.
Yeah. And I wonder if like the Packers do figure out a way to get Rodgers to come back.
Yeah.
Because there's no way that they're going to just let him walk off in the sunset. There's too many teams that actually need quarterbacks. A bunch of teams just don't have the cap. And I know a lot of people like saying the cap is fake. The cap is fake. It's fake until it's not, right? Because you start offering out like these like bizarro contracts, and you just sort of get like stuck with this like a ton of dead cap, and you're just burning cap space like the Saints, right? Like and teams have to just be willing to take an L. Like I have no idea. Like I've seen a lot of this like chatter about like Kirk Cousins, for example, being gone, but like I don't know what Minnesota's going to do in his absence.
Yeah.
Like
yeah. I mean, this is the right Historical Anomalies point that like
yeah,
it's not like there are a ton of great quarterbacks just out there waiting for, you know, waiting to go to new teams. And I mean, the rookie class so far this year has been like totally
mid.
Disgusting.
It's been mids, way. Man. They've been. I mean, they've been fine.
Well, some of them.
I mean, I guess I gotta say something. Like, says something that like Shanahan completely refuses to put Trey Lance in there. It just makes genuinely no sense why he went up, traded away three firsts, knew he had to redesign his system to shit this guy, and then just sort of refuses to give him a chance, man. Like, I have no idea what they were doing or what they were thinking, but like,
yeah. The only thing I mean, you know, you can definitely see how your thoughts in at the end of April are different than your thoughts in September when you have to put a team on the field and you have grand plans for this rookie quarterback that you're going to start. And then you know, comes time to actually pick your starter and you're like, well, this, you know, Jimmy G's better, so I'm going to play him. So, yeah, I don't know. But it's definitely a bad look.
Yeah, I mean, TBD, right? Because we'll see what happens in the offseason. Will what's his name start crying about, Shanny start crying about Mac Jones? Maybe he will. Maybe he won't. We don't. We but get to see. Blair, I wanted to get your thoughts there on, well, since we've been discussing rookie wide receivers, what are your thoughts here on Jalen Waddle? Where do you think he goes next year?
Oh, man, that's a good question.
We're not going to have a chance to talk again after he plays, so I wanted to get your thoughts now.
He's playing on Monday night, so we can kind of project. I mean, he's another guy who I think to a certain extent has been kind of flying under the radar, and maybe it's because of the team he plays for, but he's actually, you know, been really good this season, especially recently. If we're talking redraft, I could actually see him probably getting kind of up into the maybe fourth round.
Maybe I can see it. That. Yeah, I can see it. And the guy we didn't have a chance to talk about earlier today because we glossed over the game was Kadarius Toney.
Oh boy.
What are we doing with him next? I mean, he's very, 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 very ADP sensitive for me.
Yeah, I agree with that. He's still a very hard player to evaluate because he's obviously getting the volume. Although, I mean, you know, you got Mike Glennon and Jake Fromm throwing the ball, which, as bad as it sounds, are probably worse than Daniel Jones throwing the ball. What did he have? 4 catches for 28 yards? Yeah. Yeah, so obviously you want to bet on guys going into their second year who were efficient as rookies. And Toney hasn't maybe shown that he's actually like one of the top wide receivers in terms of like talent level. So from that perspective, you know, I want to find reasons to fade him. But like you said, obviously it's going to depend on the price. And if he's cheap enough, I'm sure I'm going to want to have some. Where would you be comfortable drafting him? Like in a best ball league next year?
12th round.
Yeah. I might go as high as like 9th.
I have no interest, mate.
Yeah.
I have none. I have absolutely no interest there because they're going to be bringing the band back together. I don't want Daniel Jones. Like I was really heavy on Daniel Jones this year. It didn't work out. I'm probably running back with him. Not going to be running back with Galladay. Shepard's probably going to be there. Satan's going to be there. Like, where are all the, like, you're going to have to require him to get a ton of injuries again for him to be yet again a viable play. Right, like we only saw him do it twice. I know. Bakarin mentioned, well, guys who doubted Kadarius Toney should start taking the W. No, they shouldn't. They should be taking the L because that's what happened. It was an L. He didn't play for most of the season because of training camp. He had 2 good games, and then he faded away completely. That's an L. I'm not willing to call it anything but, right? Yeah. Because we knew going into it he was going to be hurt. I'm still not sure that at, you know, in the 12th, like that's kind of where I still want to be finishing up where I'm taking my quarterbacks. I mean, part of what killed a lot of my best ball teams this year are my disastrous quarterbacks. Today, like my one ticket, like the only ticket that I had left, my quarterbacks were, and this is going to sound really sad saying it out loud. So my quarterbacks were Matt Stafford, the corpse of Sam Darnold, and then Justin Fields, RIP. like, what do you do there, right? Stafford got me like 9.68. The guy who's going to be advancing got like 34 points out of Josh Allen, and I can tell you right now. If I had those two, like just the difference between Stafford and Allen is a little bit smaller than the difference between me and advancing to the 113 man playoff. So, I mean, I mean, thank you for doing nothing, Jonathan Taylor and Saquon Barkley, but you know, that's a different story for a different day, right? It's a bit of a bummer. Like, I mean, like I was like there sitting in like June or July going, man, I got Jonathan Taylor and Saquon. This is going to be so sick. And yeah, it's definitely sick, but it's got me sick in the wrong kind of ways. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, you bring up a question I wanted to ask. The show's kind of going on long enough, but you know, I think Taylor's pretty much the consensus 101 next year. But we saw on Saturday that it's not that hard because of his kind of workload for him to put up a dud like this. Like, he's not getting McCaffrey level targets.
No, so he's not.
Is he worth being the 101?
Yeah, but this is where I was going to say, like, is where you need to be a lot more flexible with where you're taking some of these running backs, right? Like, you're like the ADP, like the reason why CMC was like 101 there, and you know, there's a good, he's probably going to be 102, 103, but he really should be like the 101 again. But I apologize, but it's difficult, right? Because historical anomalies ask us a good question again here with about where Saquon goes next year. And I was sure that he should have been going a lot higher this year, and it looked like he was going to be the guy, man. He looked like that league winner, that second round league winner, where before he like stepped on, got that injury and it's like ankle swelled all the way up. And since coming back, he hasn't looked anywhere near that. But then, you know, to that end, he hasn't looked didn't look anywhere near that before the ACL injury. And a lot of this has to do with like the offense being bad. So it's just, I think historical anomalies, I think Saquon still goes in the second round, late second. Like, I think he opens in the mid second and just drifts downwards.
Because people
will see that. I mean, like, Saquon's got the kind of profile that suggests that you want this guy because he's used in all phases. He's been seeing a ton of targets until today, where you got like Fromm and Glennon and stuff, right? But like, he's been like catching four targets each week. He just isn't getting much there, but. You know, you still want that those kind of guys. And it's like a shame because, you know, again, the Colts don't really give Jonathan Taylor a lot of those targets, right? To that end, on the flip side, Taylor probably should be the 101. There was a really good argument for why Derrick Henry should have been the 101 had he not gotten hurt. Because these guys just sort of like, they just defy and break models. But like, so their floors can be low like this.
Sean had a great line in the AFC Zero Running Back article this week. That was something like, backs with great vision and 4.3 speed don't have low value touches.
Yeah. Well, he's kind of right.
The line about Taylor, yeah.
I mean, Godspeed, right? That's where I am interested in. And it does tilt me that I got, I mean, like the guy who's going to be advancing has like Rashad Penny and Nick Chubb. He doesn't have Jonathan Taylor on his roster at all, right? Like had Jonathan Taylor gone off, this guy would have been dust.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I don't think he's drawing particularly live when we get into the next week, because there are going to be teams that have Kopp and JT who advanced in spite of, you know, a bad week. And I think that they'll like if JT has like a Kamara level explosion in like week 17, like guys like this are just going to be completely dust. Right. And so I hope you enjoy this ferric victory. If you're a listener of the show, but yeah, it is impressive. From at least to me, that just the shape that these various teams are making. And if you do want to learn, you know, that there are many, many ways to skin a cat, just go through your best ball contests and just take a look at like the teams that are winning. Especially in the tournament weeks, because, you know, there are low ownership guys who just are going off, like Rashad Penny, right? Nick Chubb in his negative matchup and stuff. And if you came across, just trying to look here, seeing the guy who's in second place, his he was the only one who had Damian Harris this week. And, you know, Joe Mixon as well. And he also had Byron Pringle, who had two touchdowns today. He's also not going to fill all of his spots. Currently, Terry McLaurin has a goose egg. And it doesn't look particularly good for McLaurin.
No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say currently Michael Thomas is in his starting
lineup. No, that's not good.
McLaurin should get there, but.
Yeah, well, who knows? McLaurin might. I was just going to say, you know who's currently leading Washington in receiving yards?
Yeah, buddy, Diami Brown.
There you go. I was at the top. We were discussing that best ball tournament team, and there is actually another way. Even if Lamb goes off, if Diami Brown also goes off, then we might still advance because he's sitting on our bench doing nothing.
Just to recap for those of you guys who are a little late here, Blair, Sean, and Colm are trying to fade a 16-point game out of CeeDee Lamb. There's a very real possibility that the Cowboys might choose to sit their starters. They're leading 42-7.
Right. They've got 42. I think Lamb is probably up to about 10.6 right now.
Yeah.
So
this is going to be a pretty gross sweat. It's going to be a gross sweat for you guys. I apologize, but you got to let us know how you did. Definitely. How you did tomorrow.
Well, you know, if Lamb scores 16, unless Kamara scores like zero, then we would be also alive. But I think the chances of that are pretty slim.
I think you're drawing pretty live for Kamara to probably score zero.
You think?
Man, Ian Book, we were looking at him. He looks to be more of a running kind of a quarterback. Mark Ingram probably going to see some touches. Right. I'm not going to say it's like completely probable, but who knows, man? Like, they have a very ugly path to moving the ball there.
Yeah.
They massacred the Buccaneers, though, so don't listen to me.
Yeah, I don't know. The ways we advance are either Lamb scores less than about 16 or Kamara scores less than like 4. So,
or that could happen, or less than 4.
Yes. Yeah.
Good luck.
Or if Diami Brown scores 30.
Well, come on, Diami, let's do it. I do have an opportunity at potentially advancing if, like, maybe we can get two more deep shots to Amari Cooper that are both touchdowns.
There you go. Well, if that happens, then I think they definitely sit their starters. So I'm ready for that.
Yeah. But Blair, it's been a pleasure to be at the helm of the season with you. What do you have going on at the Hopper? And are you excited for our show with the Ship Chasers in a few weeks?
I am. Yeah, we're gonna be talking some playoff tournament teams. We're definitely gonna put a few of those in, and that should be fun. We're getting ready for off season stuff. We've got the RotoViz rookie guide is actually already on sale. You can go right now to RotoViz and buy that. Gonna have a ton of cool articles and metrics in there from Curtis and Sean and Travis and me. So that's something you definitely want to get your hands on. Starting on that soon, and off-season coverage of incoming rookies and best ball strategy. So definitely want to get a RotoViz sub if you don't already have one. The time to start making money for 2022 really is now. So you got to get in on it.
Yeah. And we'd like to thank everyone who hung out with us live all season long. And for everyone who's been listening to our shows.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Just please remember to rate and review the RotoViz radio channel and app podcasts.
Yep. And, subscribe and like our YouTube channel. I think that's all you have to do on YouTube. I don't even know. For Hassan Rahim, I'm Blair Andrews. Happy holidays. Happy New Year. Thanks for tuning in.